Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. U.S. farmland has been shrinking steadily. Since 2022, land in farms totaled 880 million acres. In 2022, that's a rough decline of some 20 million acres or 2.2% since 2017. There are other stats here to talk about. Why does it matter? Well, it matters to Dale Visa and Janet. They are third-generation Montana ranchers. They just made one of the largest, not only largest, but biggest donations as well for future generations, donating 38,000-acre ranch in Phillips County worth more than $21 million to the Ranchers Stewardship Alliance. It's a nonprofit they helped form back in 2003. How does this donation help ensure Montana's ranching tradition survives? We've got that today. Dale Buseth is with us and Angel DeVries from Rancher Stewardship Alliance to talk about this on Voices. Oh, Montana, where did the land go? I mean, that's a good question to ask because it doesn't disappear. It goes somewhere, right? Welcome aboard. Appreciate you joining us here. We talk about the issues that matter to you on a daily basis, and it is from Montana for Montana. Two decades strong and working on three here. Yep. Been around there a little bit. The more books I read about Montana, the more I recognize people in them, I guess. It's a funny thing watching your history become a part of the history, so to speak. This is history making in a lot of ways here too. Not only this donation, but the size of it as well. But the issue that I think that a lot of people in rural America is battling is the loss of traditional agricultural production land. But with that, I think, is those traditional values that we're trying to hang on to. You know, the work ethic, you get up early in the morning, and also the responsibility, close the gate behind you as well. And then the loyalty, the respect for the land, that is evident really in every decision that a producer makes. And those decisions have been real hard lately as well, with inputs going up and the market's up and down. It's not an easy way to make a living, but there's a lot of reward in it as well. Let's get on to the program here and welcome our guest. Dale Visa is with us again, a third generation rancher in Phillips County who made this large donation along with his wife as well. Congratulations, Dale. Thank you for that. Good morning, sir. How are things going?
Thank you, Tom, for having me on. Going well. We've had a good year. Cattle prices are good.
Yeah.
I've been with this a long time.
Yeah, you have. You were one of the co-founders here too. And now Angel DeVries joins us as well. She is the executive director of the Rancher Stewardship Alliance, ranchstewards.org, for more information. I'm excited to learn about this program as well. Angel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Now, I'm sure one thing I would imagine for sure is that when Dale came to you and said, I want to donate all of this, your jaw dropped. But for Dale, I suppose, Dale, that was a long process to come to this decision. So I want to hear about the Rancher Stewardship Alliance in a minute here, Angel. But Dale, you know, talk sure. about how you came about this. Give us some of the history of your ranch and tell me, what you and Janet went through to make this decision.
Well, it was truly an agonizing decision. Yeah. I thought that maybe this ranch was better able to carry the story because we've lived it for so long that ranching is a precarious business, that my family, at least with the donation, sounds like we're relatively successful. But with that success, we've already gone broke. My joke within the family is we've gone broke twice in three generations. That is really no exaggeration. my granddad made a large purchase in 1929. They made their all their payments through the Dirty 30s until their last one was a balloon payment. They couldn't make that one in 1936. Of course, at that time, there were no commodity prices, and they were hitting Russian thistle for their hay crop. So it was tough times. They started over. The parts that I can remember, we bought land in the 1980s. We were right at the forefront of when interest rates went to 21%. The banks devalued our real estate at that time. They'd taken $1 million off, which might not sound like much today, but it was staggering in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And so we really didn't know if we would be ranchers until probably the late 90s, that it looks like we would actually make it. And so it's always been a hard fight in agriculture. The ranch today, we figured in our deeded acres, we have 76 homesteads. And they were all homesteaded by people with the best intentions. They wanted to make a better life. And now they're held in one ranch. We aren't an especially big ranch. I think that would be pretty typical for what you see in Montana. But some of the circumstances of homesteading, they started out with 160 acres, and then they went to 320 acres. Well, I think everybody that interacted on the landscape knew that that wasn't near big enough to sustain families. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a lot of heartache and crash with that. It culminated in the Dirty 30s. We've been trying to improve our landscape since that time. And so I don't think this is by any means an individual story. I read a book here this last winter, Land Rich and Cash Poor.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I think does a real nice job of explaining the generational swings and some of the inherent problems with agriculture. And so I'd recommend people should read that. We felt stressed through the 80s and 90s, and that allowed us to take what I'd call some alternative routes to keep our ranch viable. And so we started working with people. And I think that was really a forefront in some of the collaborative work that has been done. And out of some of that collaborative work, the Ranchers Stewardship Alliance is the brightest star to come out of that. But there's a multitude of agricultural problems out there to keep people on the land and to keep them doing a good job. And I guess ultimately that's what led us to the decision to basically give our ranch back to the community, because we could ensure that the community would benefit and that we would have the level of stewardship that we have strived to have in making the ranch.
It's a great story to hear you tell, Dale. I mean, there's people feel those struggles as well. I mean, we're all connected to our rural roots here. I don't know of anybody in my circle that doesn't have some type of a rural connectivity as well. So I think a lot of people, want those traditional values to continue. Angel, weigh in here, all right? I mean, this is not an unusual story, unfortunately. It's familiar, and this is why I think it's so important, too, because there's so much history locked up in there, and there's so much blood, sweat, and tears that you when you make these decisions, you don't make them willy-nilly. And the ideal of keeping production agriculture going here. Weigh in on all of this and now how the Rancher Stewardship Alliance can lead in this collaborative effort.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your first question to me earlier was how I responded, and you said my jaw dropped.
Yeah.
We got it on video, actually, because Dale announced it just very casually at a board meeting, and we record those for minute purposes, and my eyes definitely took up my whole face. It was a shock. No one really knew it and saw it coming, and I think that just speaks to Dale and Janet being so humble about their decision. You know, they made that decision themselves and made the announcement to RSA. And since then, in the last 6-8 months, we've done a lot of discussions about, working through this process. And so, really trying to dig deep into the desires and expectations from Dale and Janet. And that's what myself and the other board leadership and staff have really got a chance to visit with them more and more. And I think what it really boils down to is Dale and Janet's desire to keep this land in egg production, to keep the ways that Dale has stewarded the land over the last, 30 years, 3 decades, and that RSA can do right by them in going forward. And so, Dale, I hope we have another 20 years to figure this out. Because this will be a transition at the end of, in their estate plan. And so, I really hope that, we can do right by the stewardship that Dale and Janet have brought to the land and their desire for it to be brought back to community members, to be an opportunity for young producers or producers in general, that they have access to land that they wouldn't otherwise have access to. We know that input costs are high. We know that land prices are high for producers and ranchers. My background is I'm a CPA, and I served farmers and ranchers as a staff accountant for a number of years. And so I see the numbers, and I'm married to a fifth generation rancher, and I see it firsthand, and it's hard to make it work. And to be able to buy a ranch of that size and make it cash flow at the bank and with your loan officer is hard. And so I think this is a really brave decision that Dale and Janet have made to entrust us to make sure that it's an opportunity for new producers, and that this isn't something that is done lightly, and how we can just provide more grazing access and lease opportunities for producers so that they don't necessarily have to carry the burden of a land, a land purchase on top of their already high input costs on a year-to-year operating. So that's really just like kind of my first expression of what this really means, is just an opportunity of Dale and Janet to give back to the producers in our area.
Yeah, and it fights what is kind of happening to some of our land parcels and our farms and ranches is, development and fragmentation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dale, let me ask you. I mean, I know there's a long process here as well, and you probably considered development. I mean, you and Janet could have sailed off into the sunset, right?
I could have gone to the Caribbean.
Yes. You could have taken Cody and I with you.
I guess my comment is this is where my heart is, and rural communities is where I've lived all my life. And so I saw this as an extension, or my family saw this as an extension of their legacy rather than an ending chapter.
Remember when we had Tom Opry on, the real story, the real Yellowstone? And that deals with this as well. I mean, it's an all-encompassing look, that documentary. I encourage you to take that in as well. But it does delineate some of the problems that we're talking about here today. From the Rancher Stewardship Alliance, Dale Vesith helped form this program, I think, in 2003. Angel DeVries is also with us, the current executive director. And Dale and Janet Vesith have just made one of the largest donations for future generations in Montana history. And here's why it matters, because, land is disappearing, so to speak. It doesn't disappear. Where does it go? Development and fragmentation. Some of it's consolidated into larger farms as well. And I think that's, we've seen that happening over a number of years. Ownership changes. There's investors. Foreign purchases have climbed. Roughly about 45 million acres of U.S. agricultural land is foreign owned. And then fourth, you see more production acres being redirected toward non-productive uses. And we've seen that in a lot of pressures on ranchers to turn their land into development. Less pressure, I think, for recreational holdings, conservation purchases or energy projects, things like that. This is what they're dealing with here today. Thank you guys again for coming on. I'm going to throw it your way. And Angel, thank you again for being here. And talk about all that dynamic here. Talk about what the Rancher Stewardship Alliance does, in this context.
Yeah, I'm happy to. So the Rancher Stewardship Alliance was formed in 2003 by a group of about 30 ranching families in South Phillips County. And it was just a response to a lot of outside interests and pressures coming into our area and interest in how things were done here. And the Rancher Stewardship Alliance was formed as a way to say that we want a seat at the table. We as producers, we as ranchers want a seat at the table of what happens in our landscape. And fast forward to today, essentially what that looks like now is a mission of building up ranchers and finding the overlap between ranching and conservation, because ranchers are the stewards of the land, and responsible ranching is conservation, and that's really where it happened. And I'm just going to go ahead and read our mission because I think I can't say it any better than just straight reading it. So the Rancher Stewardship Alliance exists to help multi-generational and beginning ranchers build collaborative, trusting relationships and community-based solutions as they steward healthy working landscapes and encourage our vibrant rural communities. We believe in a future where ranching and rural communities in the Northern Great Plains are so successful that ranch families never need to consider selling or transitioning their land out of production agriculture. Opportunities are abundant for new agriculturalists, and we have preserved the integrity of working lands so that people, economies, wildlife, and the natural landscapes may flourish. And so I think Dale and Janet's donation and announcement of what their intents are is just really a culmination of that mission. And I think it's so great. And Dale can obviously speak to the really early days. Yeah, I wasn't there when all that was happening. But what it means today is that RSA has two major programs. We have our conservation cost share program, and we have our education program. So conservation cost share work is really just done as an effort to support producers in making infrastructure changes on their property that also benefit landscape conservation and wildlife. And so what we have found ourselves in is this beautiful Venn diagram of the desires of a rancher and the desires of conservationists and what they want to see on landscape. And so we found ourselves in that overlap where we can say, hey, you both want the same things. Let's make it happen. And so we utilize partnerships in the conservation space to get grant money in order to put infrastructure projects on the ground for producers. So what that looks like is replacing old fencing. It gets replaced to wildlife friendly specs for, mule deer, pronghorn and white-tailed deer, like migration patterns. It looks like water systems, so that's pipelines, wells, and tanks, because if the ground is more grazable, if it has a more grazing ability, then it is producing grassland nesting bird wildlife habitat. And then what that also looks like is taking marginal crop ground and reseeding it back to native grasses. So those are the infrastructure projects that we're able to do directly with producers. And that program in RSA is really the bread and butter. It's a big foundation of what we do, of helping private producers. It's completely voluntary. Producers only do it if they have a project. They come to us and they say, can you help us with that? Help us with this or that. And that program has had deep impact. In 2024 alone, RSA was able to put $742,000 of infrastructure projects on the ground with producers. And so the reason we do that is because we know that those infrastructure projects are high cost, and we want to help producers to make sure that they can be successful, and they can't do those infrastructure projects with the other high input costs and low cattle prices and you name it. So we're so thankful for that. That has been a really promising and successful program at RSA. But unfortunately, one thing about the conservation cost share program is that it only supports, you take $30,000 to $50,000 and it supports one producer. So what we really wanted to do is build out our education program. And so our education program continues to grow and grow each year now that we have a full-time staff member on board. And this education program is aimed at taking the lessons learned in some of these cost share programs and lessons learned from other peer-to-peer mentorship and what other producers are doing and put it on an education platform. And so our education program knows no bounds. We have many virtual components. We have people from all over the United States and even like Sweden, Australia that join in on some of those. And so that looks like webinars, that looks like in-person workshops, that looks like book clubs, it looks like our podcast, it looks like ranch tours, it looks like many different ways that people can absorb this information. And so the reason education is such a big part of what we do is because it can impact more people with fewer dollars. And we take the lessons learned in our partnerships and other cost share projects and put that on educational events. We keep our costs really low because we seek grant funding for those too, so that producers don't have a barrier, that cost isn't the barrier to engaging in that. Much of our content is free. Podcasts, rural resilience webinars, those are all very free. And so those are the two major programs that RSA is doing. And I just want to touch on one more thing because it really goes back to what's happening here. Succession is a big part of what we do in our education program as well. We try to always do something in relation to that. We really believe that through our own research and working with other like organizations like ours, our findings have been that land comes out of agriculture production predominantly because of lack of good succession plans in ranches, in their operations. And so we really are pushing to get succession plans made. And I want to just encourage folks that like succession isn't a box that you check. It is ongoing because you might make a plan today of how your succession plan wants to look, but you do need to revisit it every 3 to 5 years because things change. And just by making those plans, we enable the land to stay in egg production a little bit longer and not be taken by some other outside interests. And so that's just another big part of our educational program. And I think that's what Dale and Janet are really demonstrating today is their dedication to having a succession plan. So that's really the big part of RSA. All of our employees live within Blaine, Phillips, and Valley counties. Most of us are here in Phillips County. We've got myself, a communications director, a conservation director, education program manager, fiscal manager, mapping specialist, and our executive assistant.
So Angel, I'm going to get in here a little bit. Yep. Thank Angel DeVries, executive director of the Rancher Stewardship Alliance. It's ranchstewards.org for information. We'll come back. I got a break up here now, and we'll come back after the break. And Dale, I'm going to have you talk about how you see your ranch then fitting into this. And I know there's not all the answers aren't there, but I want to contrast what you just laid down. I think that was important to hear that because I told a story yesterday about the Nature Conservancy and a land purchase that they made in California where producers were trying to get infrastructure grants, where actual producers on the ground were prohibited from doing the infrastructure via either it's financially or for other reasons. And then as soon as they were forced to sell, so to speak, to the Nature Conservancy, well, then the grants started flowing. And that was Nature Conservancy had that money already in their pocket, so to speak, from the federal government. That this contrasts that in a way that I think Montanans will value. We're talking about things that we've been talking about for a while here. Pro-working lands. Who are the best stewards of the land? Local stewardship versus outside-funded land conversions. It's about the future of food, but it's also about the future of our working families and also those values that we talked about, too, that I think spring up from our rural roots and are important for us, no matter what industry we're going to be in. You know, the responsibility. I talked about it earlier. Responsibility, you know, the work ethic, the collaboration amongst neighbors, you know, that community sense as well. It's all there packed into those rural values, and hanging on to those it's not just hanging on. It's revitalizing them. It's ingraining them as well, because those are good values for, I think, communities to have. Welcome back to From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. And Dale Beseth is with us here. He and his wife, Janet, have donated their ranch. It's 38,000-plus acres, Phillips County, $21 million to a nonprofit that he had organized early. This goes back to 2003, the Ranchard Stewardship Alliance. Since then, in that last segment, we heard Angel DeVries, who's the executive director of that organization, talk about all those opportunities, all those different things, getting outside the box and preserving the stewardship, the original stewardship and conservation of the land, which has come from the ranchers. Dale and Angel, thank you again for being here. Dale, I want to have you respond to a couple of things here. We talked about the challenges, but another one of those new challenges are neighbors that are not necessarily into preserving production agriculture. Again, I'm talking about American Prairie Reserve. They were very much a part, I think, of why Ranchard Stewardship Alliance formed, because they created a nonprofit status, which gives them, in my mind, an unfair advantage when it comes to purchasing land. So, you know, they always talk about, well, we're just making market purchases here. No, they're not. They're doing it with advantages, not to mention large pockets from donors, many of them who are overseas, that makes it real hard to pass this land on to generations. Dale, again, thank you for your donation there. Maybe just go into what you hope to see. Maybe you can set a trend here. What do you hope to see as you transition out of this? I guess you'll be working it for some time, and then perhaps whatever new ideas will come in.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about stewardship and how that's evolved.
Yeah.
And what I'd kind of expect to see on the landscape. And right now, today, I think when we were on my granddad's ranch, he had 7 pastures. He was known as a pretty good rancher. Mm. And today we have 90 pastures. We try to go through each pasture twice, so we're moving cattle 180 times a year. And we've stepped up the game a little bit this year. We went to some virtual fencing with collars, and we're still new enough at that I don't want to make too many grandiose predictions, but I think our movements will go up two to threefold.
That's good news.
And why we do that, I learned back in my collegiate days at MSU, that if you're in the growing season, if your cow comes along and grazes the plant once, 17% of those plants die. You have some normal attrition within this dynamic population of plants all the time anyway. You have some dying and some starting and so forth. But if you take and clip that grass twice, that cow takes a second bite on that, on the regrowth of that plant, that over half of those plants are going to die. And then if that plant is clipped a third time within the growing season, it's depleted all its root reserves, and approximately 90% of those plants will die. And so to maintain or improve our range, we can only have one bite on that plant while it's growing. And so that's why we implement, or why the ranches implemented these outlandish moves. It's not that we like to work cattle or fix fence, but it's good for our grasslands.
You're sounding like a scientist. When did you recognize? And I'm sure it was probably passed on without you even consciously knowing it. But at some point, it dawned on you that I am an original steward of this land. Was that part of your history as well?
I guess to get back to my roots a little bit, I started driving a pickup at 8, and my granddad started. We started learning our plants. I knew quite a few of the plants. I was a second or third grader at that time, and it's just something that's always stuck with me. And so I guess since that time, it's just kind of the way we do things is we try to produce a better product or a more improved mousetrap, however you'd like to say it. Over time, and so that's kind of taken me on some of the journeys through academia, through other learning, through some of these community conservation opportunities that Angel outlined, and it does make a difference. I guess we've been trying to intensify our management on range management for at least 35 years. This year, we found a new grass on the ranch. I know quite a few range professionals. Most of them didn't know what it was. We think that it's tall drop seed. I found it in small populations on four places of the ranch. I've never seen the grass before. I think that seed or those plants are just showing themselves now from the seed bank because we're doing something that plant likes in our management. So we're proliferating it. And that's not the only one. I've seen a lot of plants on the ranch that are coming back that were either non-existent or in very small populations over time. And you have to remember that living through the Dust Bowl, at least in this area, that it was true Dust Bowl. One of the main topics of conversation in the local communities was if the grass would ever grow again, because there wasn't any. And so there's been quite a little reclamation work or trying to improve the stewardship ever since. Some of the things that we try to do, we put a enriched ag camera on our four-wheeler this year. It sends pictures to the cloud. So far, we've taken about 100,000 pictures with that. Huh. And with that, that's going to give us data on how much bare ground we have, how much standing biomass, things like that.
So there are new tools out there that help you guys compete, make you more efficient, so to speak, and then learning those tools. I really appreciate that whole focus. It does not escape your view. Stewardship, conservation, that is actually the lifeblood of the ranch itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess we've had satellite imagery photos on the ranch. Every ranch in the western U.S. has since 1984. We've gone back on subsets of the ranch and tried to pick comparable years, blocks of 3 years with comparable precipitation, and our bare ground in the late 80s was running 24%. Right now it averages 11%, and we've nearly doubled biomass production in that time frame.
Wow.
So I think that we're on the right track with stewardship. No, we're probably not where we need to be, but with the new technology coming out, like virtual fence and enriched ag cameras, et cetera, for increased monitoring. I see acceleration in the stewardship arena.
I appreciate that. I've only got just like a couple of minutes left here, and so I'll let you guys go here in a couple of minutes, and I got some closing thoughts to share. Again, that's Dale Vieseth, along with his wife Janet, donated that large ranch in Phillips County to the Rancher Stewardship Alliance, and RSA's executive director, Angel DeBreeze, with us. Angel, just give us some thoughts on how you will use this ranch. I know it's there's some things to work out in this regard, because Dale's still going to be continuing to work it. I'm curious about that, but as well as, you know, have you gotten some calls around it? This has got to create a buzz, and there's probably some opportunities here yet discovered.
Yeah. I mean, I think the details are still yet to be figured out, of course. I think my real focus over the next several years is just to learn more about Dale's operation and to learn more about how he stewards the lands, and maybe to put the right people in place there so that we can walk away with, when RSA takes ownership, that we have all of the information that we can to make sure that we steward the land the way Dale stewarded it, and just honor that legacy that has happened there. You know, there's tons of different options. I think when the time comes, it'll be up to the RSA board to figure out what the community needs are. You know, what is needed for producers down here? What has the most benefit? Of course, there's discussions around grass banking it, which is means like multiple producers running common on the ground. Mm-hmm. There's the idea of, you know, is there just one person that can run it and lease it, or maybe two, whatever it is. I think we're open to a lot of possibilities, and when the time comes, that will be up to the RSA board of directors to take the legacy that Dale had and see how we can make it work in the time of the transfer.
Yeah, Dale, you're passing on a legacy that is yet just really, I think, unappreciated, because you know, years from now, this value, I think it's hard to pin what that's going to be, but I'm very excited for you guys and for everybody here. How do you feel about it now, sir, after you've made the decision, going forward with it? You got that sense of peace?
I really do. We agonized over the decision, but we felt that it was the best thing for the land and the community, that these ranches, they pay taxes, they produce food. We're in a carbon contract. We're taking carbon out of the air and putting it in the soil. We're an active watershed, so downstream users, municipalities, what have you, benefit from the water cycle. And we just wanted to make sure that the community could continue benefiting from this agricultural base.
Well, I think a lot of Montanans are happy about this. They take a certain amount of pride, whether they know this dynamic or not, but somebody from Montana made such a generous and worthwhile donation. It really is a great legacy, Dale and Janet. Thank you for that.
I guess the reason I'm a little iffy on retirement is I've just given most of it away, so we have to kind of make some plans here.
Oops!
Yes, we're very pleased.
Thank you. I'm out of time here. I appreciate that very much. And I know you know Angel well enough. Maybe she can give you a raise as necessary. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.